Rejoice in the Lord, says Paul. Rejoice. So when have you rejoiced? When have you felt the kind of joy that has you tingling on your arms and trying to swallow a lump in your throat and giggling and sobbing all at the same time? Maybe at a wedding, seeing a certain baby for the very first time, a reunion with a loved one. There are times in life when joy comes without our bidding, without our pushing, without our pretending. There are periods in life when rejoicing simply comes with the territory. If we could only bottle these moments up and save them, if we could only stuff joy into the recesses of a purse or into the corner of a hip pocket, and pull it out whenever we needed it. Sometimes we may try to trap joy, but we just can't. You can't put joy in a box and pull out 3/4 of a cup whenever you need it. So at our house, we have a framed poster that hangs in our den. And for me, this poster represents the reality in which a lot of us live much of the time. The photograph was somewhat popular many years ago. Maybe you've seen it. It's kind of a grainy, close-up, black and white photograph of a baby, maybe 9 to 12 months, I'd guess. And the baby's sitting in a high chair, and this child is absolutely covered with spaghetti and meat sauce. Huge clumps of spaghetti on his hands and on his clothes and on the tray of the high chair and in his hair. Strands of spaghetti with little bits of meat clinging to them hang down in front of his face. And upturned on the baby's head is the bowl in which the meal was apparently served. And the baby's face is scrunched up into an expression of utter frustration and defeat. His mouth is open in a pitiful-looking cry. And down at the bottom of the poster is a verse from the psalm that we heard read a while ago, the one that we all know and love. This is the day the Lord hath made. Rejoice and be glad in it. So some days are like that, aren't they? Some periods in life are like that. Not tingling and singing and glorious, but spaghetti baby days. When the test comes back from the teacher and the results aren't good. When the test comes back from the doctor and the results aren't good. When the bank balance runs low. When the pews feel empty. When the kids are screaming. When the roof is leaking. How on earth are you supposed to rejoice? How do you rejoice when you're so mad you're seeing red? How do you rejoice when you can't sleep for fear about the future? How do you rejoice in the spaghetti baby time? Every life has them. Every relationship has them. Every church has them. It's hard to rejoice in spaghetti baby time. And yet here is the Apostle Paul saying, rejoice in the Lord, and catch this next word, always. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Rejoice not just when the sun is shining and the birds are singing, but rejoice always. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests be made known to God. Rejoice always. Well, that's just fine, Brother Paul, whose mail is recorded in Holy Scripture. What do you know about homework and work deadline? What do you know about spaghetti baby time? For goodness sakes, Paul, this is the third millennium. Have you read the news? The meanness and polarization in our politics, wars all over the world, violence in our own communities, the price of eggs, the price of everything. Oh, my goodness. Rejoice always. Right. Well, what's right? What's the truth? The truth is that Paul knew about a whole lot worse than most of us know. Repeated imprisonments, countless floggings, beaten 5 times by Jewish authorities, 3 times beaten by the Romans, stoned once and left for dead, shipwrecked 3 times, once lowered over the city wall in a basket to escape the governor's wrath. All of that's not exactly champagne and strawberries, is it? In fact, let's remind ourselves, where was Paul when he wrote these words about rejoicing? Can anybody tell me? Prison. And he was writing to a church that was besieged from within and without, persecuted, constantly under some threat from Roman authorities, looking like it was going to come apart at the seams any day. And in the midst of all of this, Paul says, rejoice. Rejoice always. How? If Paul wasn't sitting on some peaceful hillside, wearing rosy-colored glasses when he wrote these words, what did he have in mind? Well, there are at least a couple of ways we could go with this, but we're going to focus on one. Listen again to what he says. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Think about these things. We can't always choose the paths our lives will take. We can't consistently conjure up plenty instead of want, health instead of sickness. But what most of us can choose, over time at least, is the pictures with which we will paper our minds. Think about these things. I want to share a story about how I learned to discipline my thinking in this way. Shortly after our family moved to Albuquerque, I was invited to lead a memorial service for a woman I'll call Christine. Christine, who was a gifted fabric artist, had died after living with cancer for many years. And as we were preparing for her memorial service, Christine's sister brought the gratitude journal that Christine had kept during her journey with cancer. The sister gave me permission to share parts of the journal during the memorial service. I was absolutely overwhelmed with the beauty and the humor and the joy that Christine had discovered during her sickness. Her artistic sensibilities shone through her words. We could feel her feelings. We could taste her food. We could see the colors she saw. And it was a powerful testimony of choosing to focus on joy in a difficult time. the journals had a profound impact on me. So about 9 years later, my late husband, Bill, spent the better part of a year moving back and forth between hospitals, skilled nursing facilities, and rehab facilities. The reasons for this disheartening pilgrimage aren't necessary to report. What's important to say is that 2013 was a heavy and discouraging year. It was full of many setbacks and reasons to feel dull and hopeless. But a transformation occurred within me at a surprising moment in the journey. It was while Bill was the sickest he had ever been. And in my darkest moments, I feared he would not live. During that time, something happened that caused me to recall Christine's gratitude journal. That recollection brought me to my senses. I thought, if Christine could do it, maybe I can too. So I started. Every day, I began to discipline myself to list my reasons for rejoicing. I sat in Bill's dim hospital room and noticed the kindness of a nurse or a janitor, or the graciousness of a physician who was willing to listen to all of my questions and to answer them thoughtfully. I gave thanks for cards and letters and pictures that friends sent to cover the drab walls of the room. I felt the breeze on my skin as I walked to my car each afternoon, and I delighted in the happy reunion with my little dachshund as I returned home. And gradually, food began to taste better. The sky started to look bluer, and the Sandia Mountains had never appeared so magnificent. At the end of each day, I wrote down every shining moment I could remember. My discipline of finding reasons for rejoicing in that dark time transformed not only my experience of those days, but also my outlook on life in general. Bill did live through that period and for 5 more years, but he did so with multiple health challenges and disabilities. The commitment to rejoice always, which I had learned from Christine, strengthened me in countless ways through the years of being Bill's caregiver and through the months of his final illness and death. Rejoicing always is not a matter of pretending that sorrow doesn't exist, but of finding causes for thanksgiving even during painful times, and of thereby discovering the presence of God. We can choose the songs that we will sing to ourselves and to the people we love. Rejoice in the Lord always. Paper your minds with pictures of mercy. Play for yourselves the songs of rejoicing. Play them always, whether you love your job or you hate it, whether your kids are laughing or fighting, whether the sun is shining or the roof is leaking, even if you can only dance in your dreams. Listen for the beat of divinity dancing in you. That, siblings in Christ, is how the people of God endure whatever troubles befall them by calling to mind the gifts of God. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Rejoice in the Lord always. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.